Well, what a glorious morning. Yes, it's glorious. Why? You know why? Because the Lord is on his throne. It's been quite an earth-shaking last couple of weeks in many respects. We've had lots of things going on. Of course, we had the election and all the things that have been revealed about that. And also Veterans Day, and also the 400th anniversary of the signing of the Mayflower Compact, which gladly Mrs. Lear and myself got to participate in Plymouth, and that was a high point of my life. So important. And, you know, when you get the feeling that your ancestors are watching over you and are pleased with you, I had that feeling. I had that experience. I had that epiphany. It was wonderful being with people from across the world in different parts of America in particular. And there was prayer going on all over the world. We were connected with people from all over the world. And that very spot right there in Plymouth, it was wonderful. And here we are now, marching towards Thanksgiving and Christmas. Can you believe it? I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear if she would rouse us this morning with an opening prayer.
Father God, we come before you humbly, thankfully. We are a very, very blessed people. You love us. You show us the many ways that you love us through the wonderful things that you provide for us. And not only that, but in the storms of life. And we're thankful, Father, that you provide a perfect and solid foundation for our lives. And we think about storms that come along in nature, hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and fires and all of these things. And even though there may be great devastation, what remains beneath all of that devastation is the foundation. And Jesus, we have that foundation in you. Regardless of what happens with elections, with politics, with matters moral and immoral in our lives, you are solid, and we can rest in you. Our hope is in you, Lord, and we're thankful for it. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, folks, on this 15th of November, 2020 AD, are you ready to sing your hearts out? It's good for you, you know. It causes you to breathe better and release those endorphins as we praise the Lord. And of course, we know that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. So you want to have the Lord inhabit your house, inhabit your life, make sure you're praising him. And you can praise him not only in your house, but on the street and wherever that you are. And we need to do that. Open praise. And we had that at Plymouth too, where we had the sounding of the shofar, probably 100 shofars, and it was fabulous. It was an outward praise, and I know the Lord was present, and he was pleased. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations. I'll sing praises to thee among the people, for thy steadfast love is great, is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Let thy glory be over all the earth. I lift my eyes up unto the heavens. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord, to come and rescue me. Holy prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? That's a question. My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord, or my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. Now think about what that song really conveys. You're my only hope. You're my only prayer. So they've come to the end of their rope. We've come to the end of our rope. And now we'll wait for the Lord. Well, maybe we don't have to come to the end of our rope to wait for the Lord. Maybe we should be waiting for him anyway before we even start the rope. But human nature being what it is, sometimes people wait to the very end and they cry out saying, I have no hope except you, Lord. Come and rescue me. That's like saying, okay, I'm in the middle of the ocean. It's cold. It's windy. It's turbulent. There are sharks surrounding. By the way, Lord, would you drop in and rescue me now? But the truth of the matter is the Lord will. Especially if you're somebody who does this. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praises to my King. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto rock. Oh, come. Now is the time to worship. Oh, come. Just time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come. Stop and think for a minute. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come just as you are. A lot of people are saying, well, I'll clean up my act, and I'll come to the Lord because I don't want to come to Him as dirty as I am. Well, you come to the Lord as you are. Jesus catches his fish, and then he cleans them. And then you can sing this song very openly. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come, one day every tongue shall confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Don't be a Johnny come lately. Don't wait until the midnight hour. Come now. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy. Early in the morning, I'll celebrate the light. When I turn in the darkness, I will call upon tonight. God of wonder beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, hallelujah, Lord of heaven and earth, hallelujah, Lord of heaven and earth. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His hand. I come, I worship, I bow down, and I kneel before the Lord God, my Maker. I come, I worship, I bow down, and I kneel before the Lord God, my Maker. For you are my God, and I am a person of your pasture, and a sheep of your hand, and a sheep of your hand. Don't you just love the imagery of Jesus as a shepherd and you as a sheep? We have many images in the Bible of Jesus, of course, as the shepherd who cares for his sheep, and we are his sheep, but we also have an image of Jesus. He's the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion of Judah. And of course, when he returns, riding a horse, a white horse probably, and when he returns as that fiery warrior, So the different images of Jesus, it's not that he has multiple personalities or has multiple personality disorder. Not at all. There are different phases of God's plan for his creation. And in those different phases, Jesus is always there. Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus always will be. And the songs we've been singing this morning, in particular, have been so important because they're declaratory songs. They're songs that you could sing in the presence of the Lord, in the sanctuary, in the prayer closet. They're the songs that could be sung on the street. And I strongly encourage you to gather, even publicly, particularly now, with others who'd be willing to sing these declaratory songs. There's no time like the present to declare that Jesus Christ is the way, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. If there was ever a better time to do it, I don't know when it is. But it is right now. And I think of all the things that are going on we want to lift up to the Lord today. We do want to see justice in America. We want to see fair, honest voting. We want to see a recount and know that that recount are legitimate votes. So that whoever actually becomes the 46th president of the United States can legitimately say, I won this election by the vote of the people. I didn't have to do some magic act. I didn't have to do some cajoling. I didn't have to do some lying, stealing, and thieving. The time has come, and the Lord is shaking. And of course, one of the first places he's shaking is in judgment comes first in the house of the Lord. We're seeing this happen across the country, across the world. Many that have been false prophets have been revealed. Many that have been false shepherds have been revealed. Many whole denominations are being called to repentance. And so we can go before the Lord, climb that holy hill of Zion with clean hands. Well, I thought to bring you a few phrases today in Latin. One of the languages, of course, the Bible has been translated into is Latin. And so every now and then I like to, there are certain phrases we have in our language like pro quid quo, trading one thing for another, or mea culpa. Those are Latin phrases. For example, mea culpa is who's responsible. And of course, mea culpa fits in with who's responsible for the sin in your life. You can blame it on the devil. You can just blame it on Adam and Eve. But you're the person responsible for sin in your life and what to do with it. Well, here's some good ones. Deo fidelis et patria. I like to use that one frequently. Faithful to God and country. Ad finem fidelis. Faithful to the end. Ad mortem fidelis. Faithful till death. Amicus semper fidelis. Always faithful to friends. Celer et fidelis. Swift and faithful. Constaris et fidelis. Constant and faithful. I like that one in particular. Constant and faithful. Deo et regi fidelis. Loyal to God and King. And of course the King that we need to be loyal to is who? King Jesus. Deo patric fidelis, faithful to God and country. Dulce decorum est pro patria mori. Sweet and seemingly it is to die for one's country. Dulce decorum est pro patria mori. It is sweet and fitting to die for one's country. Yes, I repeated that. Dulcis pro patria labor. Labor for one's country is sweet. Esto fidelis, be faithful. Esto semper fidelis, be ever faithful. Expectus dico nemo est in amor fidelis. I say as an expert, no one is faithful in love. Fidelis, faithful. Fidelis, faithful, loyal, and true. Fidelis, loyal. Fidelis ad eranum. Faithful to the urn. That means until death. Fidelis et audax. Faithful and daring. Some of the ones in there, faithful and daring. Faithful to friends. Faithful to God and country. Things of that nature. Faithful, constant. Those are some of the things that I aspire to in my life. And I hope you're encouraged to be inspired to those things yourself. Well, this week in my quips and quotes, we should be unfaithful to ourselves if we should ever lose sight of the danger to our liberties. If anything partial or extraneous should infect the purity of our free, fair, virtuous, and independent elections. Hello? John Adams, 1797. In essence, I'm voting for the fact that liberty is my best weapon and Jesus is my only hope. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30. As one small candle may light a thousand, so the light here kindled hath shone to many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise. And that was said by Governor William Bradford of Plymouth Plantation. It's necessary for every American with becoming energy to endeavor to stop the dissemination of principles evidently destructive of the cause for which they have bled. It must be the combined virtue of the rulers and of the people to do this, and to rescue and save their civil and religious rights from outstretched arm of tyranny, which may appear under any mode or form of government. Mercy, Otis Warren, 1805. She was a very popular writer at the time, and of course got thumped for it because she brought out a lot of things that people thought was very patriotic and very ardent, and I think very true. The words of Psalm 47:8 are relevant for us today. God reigns over the nations. God sits in his holy throne. As Christians, we are called to be faithful no matter the election results. We do face some uncertainty at this moment about what direction our nation is heading. America's 18 million strong veteran population is a steady source of inspiration to all of us. And veterans' noble sacrifices motivated us every day to provide excellent service in the form of whatever means that we can. And we firmly believe that veterans' valuable contributions to our communities improve our country. And so when you're thinking about these kind of things, be a veteran of the spiritual war that we are in. Thank you for your service to our country, all of you that are veterans. And especially thank you for your service to the Lord, that are veterans of the spiritual war. And these days of uncertainty amid COVID, election changes, and more, to be a beacon of hope to others. No, God did not put Adolf Hitler of Germany, Joseph Stalin of Russia, or Nero Caesar of Rome, Mao Zedong of China, Kim Jong-il of North Korea, Idi Amin of Uganda, the Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran, Bill Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama of American office. I think Satan put these leaders in office, though people, or through people who are not Christians, are Christians that are too carnal and ignorant of the Bible to follow guidelines for electing leaders. God wants to give America 4 more years of grace to get the gospel out to the nations. But Christians have to be responsible to vote and intercede, especially, I think, to restore Donald Trump as President of the United States. There will be debris, as I mentioned, including civil unrest, but God will help us to go through it with a spiritual victory as His church. We have to conduct the spiritual warfare, assure that God's will is accomplished in this epic battle for the future of our children and our nation. It's not over yet. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says attacks on socialism, defunding police is rooted in racial resentment. These new terms that keep popping up, racial resentment. That this legal process must play out for the public to trust the election results. We're praying for that. Anyone rushing to the finish, including the media, and those who have a vested interest in one outcome, are doing a disservice to the country. And by the way, Time magazine, which I used to like to read, has become nothing but a rag. They've actually printed out the magazine with the front cover, a picture of Joe Biden as our 46th president. It's not even settled, and they printed it anyway. So I'll be glad that they're going to waste their money and have to throw that away. I hope you don't own any stock in Time Warner. The aim of every political constitution is or ought to be first to obtain for rulers men who possess most wisdom to discern and most virtue to pursue the common good of the society, and in the next place, to take the most effectual precautions for keeping them virtuous whilst they continue to hold their public trust. James Madison, 1788. I heard it said there are three kinds of people: those who make it happen, those who see it happen, and those who say, "What happened?" It's of great importance to set a resolution not to be shaken, never to tell an untruth. There's no vice so mean, so pitiful, so contemptible as he who permits himself to tell a lie once, finds it much easier to do a second and third time till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it and truths without the world believing it. Thomas Jefferson, 1785. Duty, honor, courage. We fight not for glory, nor for riches, nor for honor, but only and alone for freedom, which no good man lays down but with his life. That's the Declaration of Arbroath, Scotland, in 1320. 1954, American Presbyterian missionary Francis Schaeffer wrote in a letter, "Loyalty to organizations and movements has always tended over time to take the place of loyalty to the person of Christ." Mm-hmm. We see this happening all the time. By the way, when I read that quote from 1320, it should place in your mind this thinking. Man has been fighting for freedom and fighting for liberty through the centuries because even when we have it, it's hard to keep it. The enemy wants to take it away from us. The Lord wants to give it to us. But it's a constant battle. And what Francis Schaeffer is saying here, loyalty to organizations and movements. If your loyalty is to your denomination, to the movement or whatever else, and not to Christ first, you will get sidetracked, that's for sure. Reform faith, in the end, about 200 Arminian, they call Remonstrants, by the way, if you're a Reformer, otherwise a Calvinist, and those that are Arminian are called Remonstrants, were deposed, and 15 were placed under arrest and later expelled from the country in Geneva because they took a different doctrinal stance than the prevailing group of Calvinists. So I don't know whether you're a Calvinist or you're a Remonstrant, otherwise an Arminian, or like I say usually myself, I'm really kind of both. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It's to the vigilant, to the active, the brave. Are you strong? Are you active? Are you brave? Patrick Henry, 1775. Every major accomplishment starts from the ground up. It is started by an individual who has a belief and who musters up the initiative to take the first step. How about you? Can you muster up the initiative to take the first step? President Teddy Roosevelt perhaps put it best. He said, do what you can with what you have, where you are. In other words, take the first step. In essence, if you're going to build something, you need to do so from the ground up. Faith is taking the first step even when you do not see the whole staircase. Martin Luther King Jr. And finally, wisdom degenerates into governments as governments increase with age. Wisdom degenerates in governments as governments increase with age. Thomas Paine, and I think wisdom has definitely degenerated in our government as it is aged. Now if you'll take your Bibles in hands, take your Bible in your hand or take your Bible in your hands, whichever, and turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Acts 4, of course, as I always remind people, I say it very frequently, though it may be titled in your Bible, the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really a misnomer because it's not really the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. And I say that in a very pointed and poignant way to get a point across to you. We're going to read the fourth chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 1. And I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear if she would read Acts chapter 4. And there are in this chapter a total of 37 verses. So why don't you read the first 18 verses, and I'll read the last 19 verses.
Okay. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 18, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a noble sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. That was Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 18 from the English Standard Version.
And continuing on at verse 19 in Acts 4, English Standard Version also. "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.' And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. And when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, 'Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was given upon them. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who had also been called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, I don't want to focus on the last part of the chapter quite so much, although it certainly is worth looking at in your daily devotional time throughout the week. And like I said, folks, there's always a test, so make sure that you do your studying. But what I basically want to use the theme briefly here, we find mostly in several places, but in particular in verse 29. You see in verse 29, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." This is my prayer, people, for myself. This is my prayer for you, that we speak with holy boldness, all boldness. Now you see in the beginning of the chapter, and they were speaking to the people. Here we have the apostles speaking to the people. And it's not just to men. It was for men, women, and children. And we go on, and the high priest, the elders and scribes, the rulers, got together and they wanted to question them. So they brought them in amongst their midst, in other words, put them in the center of the circle, so to speak, and asked this question: by what power or by what name did you do this? And they were speaking about the miracle that had just been witnessed. They wanted to know. Well, folks, how would you answer? Would you find it intimidating that the rulers, the bosses, bring you in and say, by what power and by what name did you do this? Knowing that they don't want you to say what you have on your heart to say, and knowing they don't want you to say what has actually happened. Jesus healed this man. Then Peter spoke, and note that in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to ask this question of the Lord: Lord, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? And if I am filled with the Holy Spirit, why can't I seem to be having holy boldness to speak the name of Christ publicly, even in front of intimidating situations and intimidating people? Think about that. And then as we go further, and they explain there is no, in verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Could you say that to a Jewish person? Could you say that to a Buddhist? Could you say it to a Hindu? Could you say it to an atheist? Could you say it to somebody who believes in Confucianism or Zoroastrianism or whatever? Could you say it to a communist? And I believe with all my heart that this is a true statement, that is in fact true. The only way to be saved is by Jesus. No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so when you look on, verse 17, but in order that it may be spread to further, no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name. Have you been told not to do that? I can remember numerous incidents in my life in front of state legislators, in front of judges, in front of corporate execs and so forth. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't mention that name here. To which I say, well, I am going to mention that name here because he is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Now, how can you do that? I believe I was filled, and I've remained filled, with the Holy Spirit that gave me the boldness to do that. Because quite honestly, it is not my nature to be that bold. I don't want to be cut off from things. I don't want to be segregated and sequestered and put in the corner with a dunce cap on. And of course, why is it happening what we see? And you read this in the second chapter of the book of Psalms. Why do the Gentiles rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. We know who the Lord is, but do we know who the anointed is? Well, if you're following Jesus and you belong to him and you're saved, you are the anointed. You don't have to continually pray for that anointing. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to pray that you continue to use the light and continue to use that fresh oil that the Lord gives you. Some people are saying, well, I'm praying for the anointing. What do you mean you're praying for the anointing? If you got saved, you've got the anointing. You've recognized that Christ is Savior for you. Do you think that Christ is only Savior for you and no one else? Yes, he saves Buddhists. He saves atheists. He saves agnostics. He saves those that are neither agnostic or atheist. They're non-theists. He saves them too. Verse 30, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. I've had this experience a few times in my life. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, Lord. That's what we need. We need more Christians filled with the Holy Spirit, having that anointing of the Lord so that they can have the holy boldness. In the last part of that verse, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Holy boldness. I have a dream. I have a vision. The world could be changed in 24 hours if all the Christians spoke with holy boldness the truth of Jesus as salvation and Jesus as Lord. This world would be greatly changed, and we're talking about making America great again. America can never be great again until Jesus Christ once again has that primary function, primary place in America that he once had. That he's restored to where he belongs. And there are lots of people that believe that same thing. I was with them. Kathy and I were with them. They're in Plymouth a few days ago, and it was tremendous. It was fiery. It was anointed. People filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of us were praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Yes, I do. I pray in tongues. I suppose that means that some people out there are going to not want me around. And I certainly enjoyed other people when we were praying and praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, and the Spirit was moving us. And things happened there. And they can happen everywhere that this happens. This is what the Lord wants to do, not just in Plymouth, Massachusetts on the 11th of November, 2020. He wants to do that in your town, in your area, your neighborhood. Holy boldness. Have you got it? If you don't, you should. Father, the same prayer that these we read about in the book of Acts made, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus, give us holy boldness to speak your name and never to obey what they say. Let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. We will not obey that command from a ruler, a civil ruler. They can't give it, they shouldn't give it, and when they do, we're not going to obey. And this is our prayer. In the name of King Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Holy boldness. If you don't have it, you better get it. You're going to need it. Amen.